was the last time you went shoe shopping?
If you want to know the truth, I bought my son a pair of shoes for Christmas, and he didn't like them, so I wear them now.
What size shoe you wear?
13.
Jesus.
So does he.
Wow. But you actually wear a 13, or is it like somewhere between a 12 and a half and a 13 and a half?
It's probably a little bigger. Like generally, shoes tend to be tied on my toes. So maybe it's like a 13.2.
And you know what they call those devices that measure your feet that they have at the shoe store?
Shoehorn?
No, that's not a – that doesn't measure the shoe. That just helps you put your foot in the shoe.
Ah. Shoe measuring device?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Those things?
A little metal thing with all the sliders on it.
Yeah. It's called a Brannick device. Did you know that?
No. Like the airline?
No. That's Braniff.
Brannick.
Yeah, invented by Charles Brannick. But I don't want to talk to you about the Brannick device today. I just want to let you know.
Oh, man. That sounded fascinating.
Well, but they still have those. And this is an episode of Dead Ends where we talk about things that aren't around anymore.
Or are on their way out.
On the way out. Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you today about something that used to be prevalent in shoe stores.
Is it shoe salesman?
Well, that's a good one. You know, we have Academy here in Texas, and you go, and the idea there is you go and just try on your own damn shoes. There's nobody really there to help you. There's just boxes of shoes everywhere.
Yeah, every size is out, because I remember like shoe shopping back in the day, you went in, you found a style you liked, and then they went in the back and brought it out, right?
Right, one at a time. Right. Yeah. You'd say, give me a, yeah. But the Academy way of doing it is just complete chaos. There's shoes everywhere. Yeah. There's boxes everywhere. And you know what? No casting any aspersions on Academy, but I don't think those sizes at Academy are legit. I think when my son was growing up, we go to any other shoe store and it seemed like it took 10 minutes to buy a pair of shoes. Academy, it would take an hour. Because nothing fit quite right. And like I said, the whole process was chaotic. But back in the day, and this is not something I remember. This is not something you would remember. This is something that took place in the 40s and 50s. Back in the day, they actually used to have x-ray machines at shoe stores. Did you know this?
No.
Yes. No. Yes.
This sounds like you're making this up.
I'm not making this up. This was always fascinating to me. My mom used to tell me these stories about when she was a kid, and she would go and to the, you know, department stores, and you'd put a shoe on, and you put your shoe in this box, and you could see how well the foot fit in the shoe because it was an x-ray.
Well, wait a minute, because an x-ray would only show your bones.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
It didn't account for your skin.
I think there was you could see the outline of your skin, but you would see the bones as well. But yeah, you could see.
So if you have toe cancer today, you can thank the shoe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I was going to say you can thank the shoe stores, and you can thank the Wendy's Super Bar.
Well, it's actually a pretty interesting story. I did a little dive into this. And found out a little bit about x-rays and how they ended up at shoe stores and why they're not at shoe stores anymore. You want to go on this journey with me?
Yeah. No, man. I want to find a shoe store with an x-ray machine.
Well, you won't. But x-rays actually were invented. The x-ray was invented or discovered by Wilhelm Röntgen. And he actually...
I thought Malcolm X had done that.
No. He had done this accidentally in 1895. And he found that this was the light that would pass through almost anything and leave an image behind. And the reason he called them x-rays is because he didn't know what the light was. And X was just for the unknown. And when he discovered that there could be a lot of medical uses for this, he refused to patent it for the sake of humanity, kind of like Marie Curie did with radium, where she said, this is too important to waste time with the patent.
Fighting about who owns it.
Exactly. So he just put it out there for people to use. And later people discovered that you could put a fluorescent screen up and actually see the body by using these x-rays. And actually Thomas Edison, former DNC subject, Dirt Nap City subject. Remember season one, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Thomas Edison. He told us all about him. He called this fluoroscopy. He called this technique. You remember? And you may have even talked about it.
I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, so if you haven't caught up on the Thomas Edison episode of Dirt Nap City, go check that out. We'll wait.
Now, what's interesting, I think, about X-rays is they were formerly called Twitter rays, right?
Ah, I see what you did there. I see that. You've been waiting to say that one.
I have.
So when they first came up with the idea of X-rays and the idea that you could put a fluorescent screen up and see the body, they had a picture in these medical journals, and the picture showed a woman's foot inside a boot. That was the picture. And so in that was right before World War One. World War One, the military started using this technique for shoe fitting, but also there was a use for doctors to be able to look at people's wounded feet. Soldiers that were wounded in the war, without taking their boot off, they could look and see what was going on with the foot. Because obviously, if you took the boot off, that could cause more damage sometimes.
Yeah, that's what that's all about.
And you're going to keep doing this, sir? Yeah. That was a good a boot. I like that. That was a little Canadian joke there. So Jacob Lowe patented this technology in 1919. It wasn't granted till 1927. What do you think he called this technology where you could put your foot in and look at the foot without removing somebody's shoe? What do you think he called this?
I mean, that sounds like some sort of shoe removal magic.
He called it the footoscope. I think we've established on this show that people weren't great at naming things back then.
No.
And when I say back then, I mean before we were born. In England, somebody founded the Pedoscope Company, which is weird because in England they call pedos. That's what they call pedophiles, pedos. So
right.
The Pedoscope Company. And in the U.S., it was called the X-ray Shoe Fitter.
Wow. Okay. X-ray shoe fitter.
So the X-ray shoe fitter was a wooden cabinet, and it had an X-ray tube, and customers could see the fit. And there were three eyepieces. So they didn't have like a screen, like a video screen or anything. You'd have to look through it, and it had three eyepieces, one for the customer, one for the clerk, and one for the parent or the spouse or whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
Another person.
One for the little boy who lives on the lane.
Well, after a while, they were finding that people that were, you know, when you think about going and buying a pair of shoes, you're not just doing that one time. You're trying on several pair. You're maybe going several times a week or several times a month for some women.
Plus, this made it really fun. And so you probably wanted to do, hey, can I look in that thing again and see my foot?
Yeah. And people were starting to get things like dermatitis, even cataracts, and sometimes cancer. And so the amount of time that you would put your foot in this thing was about 20 seconds.
Yeah. And so hold on. So I just also want to clarify, because typically now when they take an X-ray, I think I had an X-ray done of my teeth at the dentist's office.
Yeah. The dentist. Yeah.
I put on a lead vest.
Right.
They put the X-ray machine up and I had to bite down on this thing. They turn it on for like a second.
And the hygienist leaves the room, right? The hygienist leaves the room.
And then turns it on for a second, and then it's written to a film, and then we look at the film. But I think what you're telling us here is people were actually just turning this thing on and looking at a live view of it. Like you could wiggle your toes, and you would see them wiggle in the X-ray. So they're looking at it for 30 seconds.
20 seconds. 20 seconds was the average amount of time. And they discovered that, so the way you measure radiation in X-rays is through a metric called Roentgens.
Okay.
R-O-E-N-T-G-E-N-S, Roentgens. And the footoscope or the X-ray shoe fitter would emit about between 16 and 75 Roentgens per minute.
Okay.
By 1946, when they started putting limits on these things, the limit would be 0.1 Roentgen per day.
So if you were a shoe salesman, yeah, you were screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Edison, our friend Edison, again, Dirt Nap City resident and a former subject, he knew x-rays were dangerous. He did research in this area, and a tech in his lab by the name of Clarence Daly, who was like the main x-ray guy, technician, he died of exposure. First, he started getting lesions. Then his hair fell out. Then his face became wrinkled. Then he has to have his arms amputated. And finally, he ended up having skin cancer. And somebody asked Edison later in his life about x-rays, and he said, don't talk to me about x-rays. I'm afraid of them. He knew something was up with that. By the 1950s, though, shoe stores were loving this. And by the 1950s, there were 10,000 of these x-ray shoe fitters just in the U.S. alone.
If you Google this thing, are there pictures of them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They look kind of like the old telephones, like the Alexander Graham Bell, like with the big wooden cabinet. But you'd stick your foot in these things, yeah. And so it would have places for you to look in them. So, like I said, in the 1950s, there were 10,000 of these machines. But you know what got people sour on them? Was
I can think of a lot of things.
Well, you got to figure, though, how did we know? How did people start knowing in the popular culture that radiation was bad? What event happened that...
Oh, was it Hiroshima?
Exactly. So the end of World War II, 1945, the U.S. dropped atomic bombs on Japan. And what I don't think we knew right away, but... In the years ensuing, in the late 40s and 50s, we're starting to hear stories about radiation and cancer and all kinds of other diseases that were happening and conditions that were happening as a result of radiation sickness that started seeping into the news. And so people started getting a little bit uneasy about all things radiation. Yeah. And so they're like, oh, wow, that's the same technology. Radiation is the same thing that happened when I go to the shoe store. Well, states started banning them. But in 1970, there were still 17 states that still allow them. And I don't know if those 17 states still allow them, but they basically stopped making those x-ray shoe fitters and they went on to the Brannick device. And, you know, when you think about it, the Brannick device is fine. I mean, it's not like the shoes are custom fit. I mean, you're either a 13 or a 12 and a half or a 13 and a half. And it's not like you can get a 13 and a quarter. Right. So,
well, not for off the shelf. Right. I mean, you could probably get custom shoes made, but I thought your subject was going to be about half sizes of shoes. Cause I do remember, like, I think you could buy half sizes of shoes.
You mean quarter sizes?
No, half sizes. I don't ever see half sizes anymore.
Yeah, they still have those. Yeah, of course.
They do?
Yeah, oh, okay. But maybe they don't have quarter sizes. I mean, they never did, I don't think.
And maybe they don't have them at Walmart where I shop.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what they say, if the shoe fits, Kelly. What's the end of that? If the shoe fits, wear it? Is that how that goes?
Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody says that part. I just want to mention that most of the information that I talked about today was taken from a website by IEEE, the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. They have a whole article written about it that there used to honestly be x-ray machines at shoe stores.
And you know, we're going to get a lot of hate from the shoeometer lobby. So
shoeometer. Where did that come from?
What's that thing called again? The shoe?
The x-ray shoe fitter or the foot?
X-ray shoe fitter.
Or the pedoscope.
Those things. All of those. They are really ingrained in the government, people. And, you know, it's big shoe store companies that are kind of running everything. And so I think I just want to say the opinions expressed on today's Dirt Nap City were Alex's alone.
Now, you know, I think it's a good idea, obviously, that they don't have these anymore, but
really,
but it would have been kind of cool to experience once to see what that looked like, and just kind of shopping. You put your foot in a shoe and then you can see exactly how it looks. I think if they could invent some sort of digital you could probably put a camera in there or something. If they could invent a non-lethal way to do this, I think I'd be on board. I think it's a cool idea, but obviously we don't need the radiation.
Why? That's all I got to ask is why. You got to put the shoe on. Does it feel good? You know, and then you do that little thing where you push down on the toe, and is that in the right spot?
Right.
And then you pull up and kind of grab it from the sides to see if it's too wide. And then you walk a few steps. You look in that little mirror that the salesman sits on.
Yep.
You know, that mirror that you can see your shoe, and then you're good. You don't need a shoeometer.
If they're sneakers, you got to run around in them a little bit. You got to run in the store a little bit, right? You run to one end of the
jog,
store.
Little jog. High knee. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Those were good times for sure. I remember when my son was little, we'd always have such a hard time with him in shoes. And we one time we went about, are you sure you want these? Yes. Are you sure they fit? They feel good? Yep. We walk out the store, we get to the car, which is about 10 steps away from the store. And he goes, my feet hurt.
And if only you had had a shoe fitometer.
And went back in the store and they would not take them back.
Oh, because you wore them out of the store.
Dang.
Yeah. Well,
but if we only had an X-ray shoe fitter, that could have been avoided.
I'll never remember that name, but I love it.
All right. See you. Bye.